All right, so yeah, thanks for the announcement, Nick. And just so you know, we have these invite cards for the new series that I'll be preaching, and we just encourage you to hand these out and invite people to come check out Better Life Church as a new church. A lot of people don't know we exist, so this is a real helpful tool, and we'll be handing these out. We'll have some of these printed up and hand them out in the parade as well that you heard about. So I'm glad you're here today as we kick off a new series. We're going to go through the book of Joshua over the next few weeks. And today is a little bit of a teaser. It's a little bit of a sampler. And I just want to kind of share that with you. You know, Memorial Day is a time I really enjoy. It's a time of looking back. My parents, maybe a lot of your grandparents, but my parents were those called the greatest generation. And World War II, that was really, in my coming up and bringing up, was really big. And you know, I've been to Washington D.C. many times, saw the World War II Memorial, and I like this time of year when we can take and we can remember people who have blessed us with their sacrifice and with their service to make our country a better country, our place a better place, and to make our lives better lives. And I know my dad, who's long been with the Lord now, he was part of that generation, part of World War II, and so it's just a time when I enjoy getting together with my family and looking back. We often look back, not because we want to live in the past, but because when we look back, we know where it kind of helps us get our direction of where we want to go. You know, the book of Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And the cloud of witnesses are the people of faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 that we look to their encouragement. It's not like they're in heaven looking down at us, although that might be possible. It's more that we look at their example of faith, and we learn, and we grow from that. And so as I think about what we're doing here at Better Life Church, we are now ending a season of ministry of winter and spring. Now we're getting down to summer. We're going to be doing a lot of outreach this summer, letting people know that we're here, and so that we can have a great fall harvest. And I know in our lives, not just our church, but in our personal lives, this is a time when graduations happen, commencement ceremonies, there are weddings that happen, and different things going on, new things going on in our life, new challenges, maybe relocating, a new job or something, and there are new challenges ahead. And what we want to do is we want to reconnect sometimes with the past to refresh our memory of what God has done for us and blessed us and what we can do, where we're going to go in the future with new direction. And that's a little bit about Joshua. Joshua was a man. He was Moses' right-hand man. He was the assistant to Moses. And now Moses is gone and the people are ready to enter a new land. And Joshua is the worst thing that you can do is to compare yourself with another person. You never want to do that. We never want to be at fault of comparing ourselves with someone else. And I'm sure Joshua had that in his mind. He's probably thinking, I am not Moses. I did not go up on the mountain. I did not come down glowing, you know, that I had seen God. And I did not receive the commandments from God. I'm just the guy that was standing over here that saw the miracles. And so that could have been happening. And it could have been, too, that the people are thinking, he's no Moses. But he was Joshua, and now new leadership for the people of Israel. And they're ready to enter into a new land. And so now as they're getting ready to go into a new land, God is preparing them. He is preparing them. He's getting them ready. And I'm just going to skip around a little bit. In Joshua chapter 3, they come before the Jordan River. The Jordan River, it is a rapid river. The name means descenter because it flows from the Sea of Galilee down into the Dead Sea, about 70 miles, and it descends, and it can be rapid. And they're there in front of this river looking about how they're going to cross it. And God wants them now, as they're going to go into this new land, what he'll do is he has the priest kind of lead the way. And that's really interesting that you have worship people lead in the battle. You know, when we go in the battle of life, we need to make sure that we are worshipers, that we worship God and that we know he is with us. Well, they are going in and he has the priests. They step into the water and a miraculous thing happened is the waters are driven back miles, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But they're driven back, and he's going to lead the people. But he tells them as the priests are standing there, and as the waters are beginning to go back, he says, "Stay there." I'm going to read that for you. It's in Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. The Lord told Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader." He probably knew Joshua's heart. He probably knew Joshua was wondering, "How is this going to roll? I'm not Moses." So he says, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river," and he says, "and stop there." And stop there. And so they stop there, and God provides a great miracle of the waters going back. Now, I want that to be in your mind. They went to the banks of the river. They stepped into the river, and God says, "Stay there. Stop there." And there's a reason, but I want us to look ahead into Joshua chapter 4. We're going to put that on the screen for you as well. Joshua chapter 4, just the first few verses. It says, "When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the river, of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up to the place where you will camp tonight.' So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, 'Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, for each one of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever.'" Verse 8, "So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and there they are to this day." So perhaps we have all maybe had a little bit of a wilderness wandering, just like the people of Israel. They had wandered for 40 years, and now they're getting ready to go to embark on this new challenge, this new thing that God had been promising them. Perhaps you have had a little wilderness wandering, whether it's in the context of Better Life Church, or maybe you've just got some stuff in your life, and you feel like you've been wandering a little bit. Today, I want you to be encouraged. Today, I want you to know there's new ground, new territory that God has for you. Well, how do you recognize it? Well, maybe you have yet to do something that is significant for God. Maybe you have felt like God has something for me and I have yet to do it. You've been wandering, life has been good, God's been good, but now it's time. What's my next step in life? What do I do that God wants me to do? How is he speaking to me? How do I transition? What is this new thing, this new land, this higher ground that God has for me? Well, how do I transition? Well, perhaps God has been leading you, and now he says to you, stop here. Stop here. We learn from Joshua and Israel in this text that they had been wandering, and now it was time to do something. And so here they are, the place of the stones, of where they pull these stones out of the river. And the point is that I'm making to you on this is God has a certain place to meet you. God has a certain place to meet you, because he's going to do something extraordinary in your life. And he says to them, stop here. And so what? Sometimes we just got to stop where we are at to see what it is that God wants to do. So he said, God has a certain place. So if you're taking notes, God has a certain place to meet you. Now, there's something about building stones. There's something about piling up stones and rocks. Years ago, my goodness, I can't even believe it. It's been 14 years. 14 years ago, Michelle and I were up north. We had planted a church up north called New Community Church. Still going, still doing great. And at that same time, I had to be bivocational, just like I do here, and I had to do something on the outside. And so I was going to be teaching at a brand new Christian school that was going up between Newaygo and Fremont called Providence Christian School. And before they even built the building, I was there at the ground level, and we put a bunch of stones. We met on the curve where the church, where the school would once be built. And we were meeting in a different school, but we were going to build our own. And I remember the day, and do we have that up on there? There it is. There we are, gathering on the curve between Newaygo and Fremont, in M82, and we had the 14 students. They were freshmen. We started out with a freshman class. The next year, we're going to add a sophomore class, then a junior class, and a senior class. That's how you build a high school. And I was going to be teaching math and computers for them. But they had asked me to share from God's Word. And I remember the students came. There you see, the students are putting the rocks. We're putting rocks up. We're building a memorial, an altar before the Lord, because we want to remember this day. And that's me down in the corner sharing from the Word. And so there's just something about taking something and building something, like taking rocks and building them and doing a memorial. That's what they were doing here. The Jordan River is backed up. It's a wonderful miracle. But now they are called to do the impossible. New leadership, new land, new opportunities, people getting ready to do the impossible, and it cannot be done without God's help. In fact, it says in the Word, it says, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, God." I remember as Michelle and I prayed about starting a new church. We're only 18 months old, so we're very much a baby little church, okay? I remember when we set out to create this ministry, when we prayed, we very much wanted this to be an Acts 2 New Testament church. And the vision of the church, that whole vision out of Acts chapter 2 about gathering people together, teaching them and training them in the Word of God, sharing with a spirit of generosity, and all the time we do that, enjoying the wonders of God while we worship Him. You see, that's our vision. That was the vision that we had. Our purpose is, and you heard Pastor Nick, you might have heard Pastor Nick share this morning, our purpose is then to help people know God, find freedom, you know, discover what it is God wants to do in their life and make a difference in the world. And so we prayed. We prayed about putting a team together, and we spent a year building a launch team. I remember we just contacted people. I put a thing in Craigslist. I mean, we started from scratch. And put a team together, and the first two, they're not here today, darn them, they're not here, Ryan and Tracy are probably on vacation, but they were the first two people to sign up. And then I remember that whole year having launch team parties at our house and watching the number of people, and I remember that was in around December of 2013, going into 2014, our launch date was September 2014, so we had 9 months to go. And we had a launch team of about 10 people, but after we hit the holidays, some people said goodbye to us, and then we only had a launch team of 5 people. And I remember there were a few people, they were just so discouraged. And they said, "We only see 5 people here. How can we do this?" And I just said, "With God's help, we can do it." I said, "You see 5, I see 15, because I'm always out at the mobile office, which is the Starbucks place where I hang out all the time. And I'm always talking to people, and I knew that God was tapping on people's shoulder, gathering them. I knew God was doing it. And lo and behold, by that spring, we had 20 people meeting in my house. We had to move out of the house and meet at Brookwood Elementary. And there at Brookwood Elementary, by the end of the summer, we had 40 adults. It was awesome. And then we launched the church. And it was crazy. It was really, really good. And we've seen the church. We've seen people come and we've seen people go. And that happens when you're trying to build a church. It's just really unstable for a long time. And I've watched as God has brought people here. And I've watched as the launch team has been replaced now by a group of very, very strong individuals here. And we've got a good group. We've got a good start. We've had 20 months of ministry. And we've had small groups. We've had community outreach. We've had our points of passion, which is our missions, our growth track, which is, as Pastor Nick says, it's how you kind of learn what we do here. So I believe we should be believing on God for some great things here. The summer is loaded. We got all sorts of activities. We're going to be investing and building in leaders, and at the same time, we're going to be reaching out to people to try to bring them in. But we can't do this. Now, God showed up for Israel. He showed up for the New Testament church. He has shown up. I've seen Him bless in the past. I know He's blessing here. And I know in your life, I know He's going to bless. What do you want God to do? What do you want God to do in your marriage? What do you want God to do in your relational life or your career or what it is? Is he calling you to higher ground? Is he calling you to something greater? Then you need to pause. You need to stop in the place of blessing and remember what he has done. Just as the Lord told Joshua and the priest to stop in the place of blessing. Stop right where you're at. Don't look to go anyplace else. They're in a riverbed. And he says, stop. You know, that's not the most comforting place to be. But stop. Because there is blessing there. And what I'm saying to you is you're here for some reason. A certain place. God has brought you here for a reason. I'm saying stop. And look and see and consider the miracle that he's going to work in your life here. There's another passage of scripture found in Genesis chapter 28, verses 11 through 20. And it's a story of Jacob. And Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, the great man of faith. And Jacob was literally running away from God. But God has an encounter with God. And here's what it says in Genesis chapter 28. When he reached a certain place, it says in the scriptures, a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you were lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. For I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the place Bethel, which is the house of God, though the city used to be called Luz. Look over your life and look at the sightings of what maybe God has done in your life. And acknowledge this. Know this. God is, he's in the house. He's in this place. Recognize it. Recognize a God moment when it happens. When God is doing great things in your life, stop, pause, recognize it. He's ready to do something in your life. He's ready to do something in this church, in your marriage, in your career, in your calling. And when God does something special, pause and note that it's from him. And say this to yourself, the Lord is in this place. Stay there until he leads. Worship him, exalt him, and wait for what he has to do, has for you. I love this. It comes out of Ecclesiastes. And I'm kind of taking it out of context, but it's a wonderful passage. It says, do not be hurry. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. You want to pause. You want to stay. You want to hear from God. He has something for you where you are at. Dedicate yourself to higher ground, claiming his promises in your life. That's the place of the stones. And then there's the source of the stones in the middle. They're in the Jordan, and they're going to take out of that a miracle. What does it say? Do we have that up on the passage, the scripture? Do we have that? Is there a passage of scripture that follows this slide? There it is. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He said, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up the stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so they were to go in and take a stone out of the right where they were standing, and they were going to build this altar. What I see there is they're standing. He says, stop there. And so we stop in this place that God has, this certain place. We stop and we take out of it a blessing. We take out of it what he is going to do in our life. And in their case, they were taking out rocks or stones, carrying them on their shoulders, and now they're going to build this memorial. They're going to build this altar. They took 12 stones, one stone for each tribe, taken out of the middle of the river where the priests were standing, right in the middle of the blessing, And my word for you on that is, in the middle of God's blessing, pause and take something from it, relish in it, enjoy it. It says that this river pushed back and 2 million people overnight crossed over. And you know, some people say, can 2 million people, really, overnight, can that many people cross over? Let me tell you, that can happen. In 1997, I was in Washington, D.C. at a Promise Keepers conference. It was the big conference. We had 1.5 million men in the Washington Mall. If you've never been there, the Washington Mall starts at the Capitol. It goes all the way down to the Lincoln Memorial. It's 22 blocks long, And the Promise Keepers Conference, the main stage was up by the Capitol. I was back, if you've ever been there, how many have been in the Washington Mall? Okay, some of you. Okay? So I was back where the Washington Monument was, and we couldn't see the stage, but we had big jumbotrons. In fact, there was a Rolling Stones concert in the area that weekend, and they needed jumbotrons because Promise Keepers had all of them. It was awesome. It was great. And so we're there. Now the conference ends. Because it's a park. It's a park. They were doing a Billy Graham video at the end, and they had to cut it short because they only signed out the park till 6 o'clock, which means other people can come in and use the park, and their dogs can run, and they can throw frisbees, right? So we had to end. We had 1.5 million men exiting 22 blocks, and they did it. Quickly, I remember we were heading to the subways where the conference was done. We're pouring 1.5 million pouring out of the park, and I remember we're coming down this street in D.C. and here's this poor police officer, and he's got traffic, and he sees this mass of guys coming, and he's going like this. He's trying to hold us off and bring the traffic through, and he realizes there's just too many men, so he holds the traffic. He goes like this. I can still see it. The guy goes like this. He goes. And he holds the traffic off, and he lets the men come through. It was amazing. Can 2 million people go overnight? Yes. And that's what happened there. And so from the midst, this miracle happens. And the ground and the stones were removed to make this altar. I kind of like that. Michelle and I have a hobby that we do, and that is we collect rocks. When we go to vacation, whenever we go to a different state, we bring back a rock. If you come to my house, in the front of my house, there's a rock garden, and some of those rocks, a lot of those big rocks, are from different places that we have been. Unfortunately, I can't keep track now which one came from where. I used to write, I shellacked them, I put on a Sharpie, you know, this one came from D.C., this one came from Battle of Gettysburg, but, you know, it's rain washed it off. But miracles, taking a moment and detecting and enjoying the miracle that God provides. I remember Michelle and I bought our first house. You know, this is long before Dave Ramsey. We teach Dave Ramsey's class here on Sunday nights. And this is long before Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey was probably back at that time. He was probably not doing as well. And we were debt-free. And we went to pastor our first church out in Iowa. And we went out there, and we had to buy a house. And we never owned a house before. And our credit, we didn't have good credit. We had bad credit. We had zero credit. We had zero debt. Nothing shows up. Of course, that's what you want. But we didn't know anything back then about private underwriting, that there's a way to have your house underwritten and all that. And so we put a bid on a house. We didn't know if we're going to get it or not. And this lady in the church, her and her husband had built a retirement home. Her husband died, and she was in the house by herself. And she said, "You can come and live with us." And so I said, "Gee, that's wonderful." And the church wanted us there on a certain date. And I said, "That's wonderful, but, you know, I don't know if this house deal is going to go through. I mean, you could get stuck with us." You know, me and my wife and our two kids and our dog, Patches, who was half Dalmatian and half English Setter and was chewing up everything. And, well, we stayed at her house for 4 weeks, and it was the longest 4 weeks of my life, and my dog had literally eaten up some of her deck because she was chewy, only 6 months old. But praise the Lord, the bank called, and they approved. It was awesome. But we just went out in faith. We just went out in faith. And, you know, that's kind of an intimidating thing when you're crossing the Mississippi and then the Missouri River and you're driving in the car behind the Ryder truck that has everything you own in a 24-foot truck. Everything, all of your life is in a 24-foot truck. But we went out there on faith, and he just led the way. And I never forget that. And I teach that to people, you know, to let you know. I remember our first church, 50 people on day one. And before we left, we had over 160 people. It was amazing. It was really great to see that happening. I remember 20 years ago when we launched a new church up in Nuevo. We started with 3 families, 11 people. We had 40 on our launch day, and then we dropped. And no worries. This is going to grow. Don't worry about it. This is going to happen. This is going to come together. Because we watched it. And year number one, we had grown to 70. Year number two to 80. The next year, 90. It was like incremental, but it was up the middle, but it was growing. And it was amazing. We got into our own building. And then I've seen God do many, many things here. We built the launch team. We raised a lot of money. It's been awesome. And we've seen some people go, but others come. And the people that we have, I know God's working in the hearts of new ones that are not yet here. And we had great small groups this year. And last Monday night, we had a great small group finale, and we grilled, and it was awesome. We had a lot of people out and a lot of food. Listen, and people are responding to our ideas and our direction. The feel is good. And we have a positive summer ahead. But I'm saying all of that to tell you, identify the miracles as you're standing in the middle of God's blessing where he has you. Stay here. And out of that, lift something. Take something away. And remember it. And do something with it. Never forget the miracles that God does in your life. Don't take them for granted. And then why? The purpose of the stones. The purpose of the stones. Well, the stones were to build an altar. Here they were to build a memorial, an altar, so they would let other people know. Do we have that a couple verses on there or not? Is there a verse slide that follows? Nope, this one here. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. And he told them, go in the middle of the Jordan, the front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's it. Okay. So let me read what else it should have been on there. It should have also had, we will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. And these stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Forever. That's what they were. Monuments back in that day were used to remember encounters with God. To remember encounters with God. And when we have encounters with the Lord, we want to do something. We want to take something away from that to remember it. Altars were used for times of forgiveness. When we needed to seek forgiveness or to pray for others' forgiveness. Altars were used for worship. They built altars and monuments to remember God and to worship him. They were used in covenant making when God would make a covenant, an agreement with people. They were used for intercession, for praying on behalf of other people. But here they're used for sharing the story of what God is doing in your life. Memorials were intended to provoke questioning so that the story of God's miracles in your life can be told over and over. And Israel was to teach this and tell this to their children. There's a bloop. That wasn't me. And I remember when I was 17, that was a long time ago. Charlie, you can with me. 1973. Joe's a little young, yeah. I'm the old guy. 1973. I'm 16 and a half years old. I'm driving my folks' 67 Chevy Malibu. And my dad would always tell me, because I'm not mechanical, okay? My dad would always say, check the oil. Check the oil. Make sure you check the oil. Because he knew I ran that thing. And I got down on M37 heading toward Grand Rapids outside of Sparta in 10 Mile. And I heard this noise. And it wasn't good. And the car went off to the side. And the bottom line was, I had dropped a valve through a piston. And so there was a piston later on. It had a hole this big. It could put like a silver dollar. You know, okay, now how do I know that? Because that car ended up getting towed back to my house. I was a basketball player. I had my driveway, basketball hoop, and my dad had the engine taken out, and they weren't going to do anything. It was done. It was shot. He had that engine next to my basketball hoop. And I remember my mom said, Larry, what are you doing with that engine? Why is that out there? And my dad said, serious, true story, my dad said, it's a monument. He's going to remember to check the oil. Check the oil. And every day that I would go out to shoot hoops, there was that dumb engine with that piston with a big silver dollar hole in it where the valve went through. I saw that every day for 20 years. And here's the deal on that. My dad passed away in 1982. My mom remarried 3 years later. She moved out of the house to another community. My wife and I moved into the house I grew up in, and there's that dumb engine looking at me. I had to get rid of it. You know, when Michelle and I moved to go into ministry, we sold the house, and I had to deal with that engine. That thing haunted me for 20 years. It's a memorial. It taught me. I'm good on my oil now. I'm great. I'm just like over the top. I even take it in before the 3,000 miles. They go, Clint, you've got some more miles. No, we're going to do the oil right now. Well, you tell. You learn. You learn from this. So today, we want to make memories of our ministry. Listen, this is awesome. This is exciting to see what God is doing here. Last night, Pastor Nick and I were at the Berlin Raceway because a lady had just blessed us with some tickets, so we went and did that. Nick and I were talking about these are fun days, and we're gonna remember these days. Do not forget these days. Do not forget the days of hauling boxes, because there's going to be a day come, this church is going to grow and get to a point where we're going to have our own land, our own facility. It's going to happen. I believe it. It's going to happen, and we're going to look back, and we're going to share stories. Kids and grandkids about God's faithfulness to us as we did this thing. It's easy to go to a church that exists. Try planting one and that has the vision, you know, that we have. So I'm just telling you this. It's good. And the same is true in your life. When God works a miracle, pause. Stop where you're at. Take something away from it. Write it down and share it with your kiddos. You guys got young kiddos. Share it with them. Let them know the miracles of God in your life. Be faithful in saying why it exists. God's going to be with you. He's got higher ground for all of us. He's got new things. If the worship team wants to come on up. Be faithful in explaining to your family. It says in Joshua chapter 22, but truly we have done this out of concern for a reason, saying in time to come, your sons may say to our sons, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? And they'll say, we built this because of his faithfulness. We share the blessings and we move forward. So Memorial Day. This is a great day to look back and to look forward. Michelle and I, tomorrow, we're going to go up north. We're north people. We're going to go up north. We're going to stop in Ravenna. We're going to go to the cemetery. I'm going to see my dad. My dad's in heaven. I'm going to see where he's buried. See my grandfather, who I never knew. I'm going to see my daughter. That was a tough one. I'm going to see my daughter. I'm going to remember. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to teach my grandson. I'm going to share memories. Then we're going to go up to my family up in Nuevo, and we're going to grill out. Be faithful. When God is so good, he just says, stop here. Don't look at it. Stop here. Take something out. Do something with it and tell other people. God has new things for you. Higher ground. Recognize the presence of God and dedicate to him that certain place. Take something from the moment and thank him and honor him. And then teach others what he has done for you. Heavenly Father, we just praise you, God. We thank you, Lord, for this passage, this book, these people, for their faithfulness to write down your faithfulness to them. Thank you for your miracles that you do. Help us, God, to not just blow past the miracles that you provide in our life, but help us, Lord, to pause and to stop right where we're at. To read, it lifts, take something out, take the miracle, and to share it with others, God. Help us to do that. Holy Spirit, teach and touch us in a special supernatural, unique way so that we can be people who are trees of life to the other people that we encounter. Because we paused in that certain place, we recorded the miracle, and we shared it with others. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.